Earlier this summer, the Supreme Court officially overturned Roe v. Wade, which protected federal abortion rights, leaving some states to enact abortion bans and other states, like Michigan, fighting to defend the right to choose. But regardless of what state you live in, the Supreme Court ruling had an effect on how we think about our relationships. It sparked headlines like Gen Z reconsiders sex in the wake of a post-Roe world, and they don't agree on abortion. Can the relationship survive post-Roe? It has couples asking each other important questions about how they feel about safe sex and abortions, and singles raising their expectations out of what they want from a partner. To talk about all this, we're joined live in studio by Christina Carney, doctoral student and instructor of sociology at Wayne State University. Christina, welcome to Culture Shifts.
Thank you. It's great being here.
We also want to hear from you out there listening. 313-577-1019. Has the Roe ruling changed your idea of what you want from a partner or expect from them? Are you in a relationship where one of you is for abortion, but the other isn't? And does the Roe ruling make you not want to date at all, or have you reevaluating what your sex life looks like? 313-577-1019 is the number to call and to join this conversation. Christina, I brought up the Business Insider article, Gen Z reconsiders sex in the wake of a post-Roe world. It talks about swearing off men, avoiding intimacy. You teach the same generation as we go through this. What have they been talking about in the classroom?
I mostly have a following of young girls that follow me from class to class. And so they are angry. But it should be noted that this generation is not having as much sex as previous generations. They're already pushing sex to the back burner. It's not a top priority for them. We like to think that we live in this hookup culture, but that's actually not true. Most of the girls in my classes are angry. They're worried about the implications of this ruling when it comes to birth control, Plan B, things like that. And they're definitely placing higher expectations on what they expect of partners or future partners.
So some of that anger is being translated into saying, you know what, I don't think I want to date you because of what's happening in the world right now.
Absolutely. I mean, and then there are things that have been going on, which are the article that came out recently about how men aren't living up to the expectations of women, and how I think it's just they've just had enough at this point. They're like, what's the point of dating when I don't have something to fall back on? I know that as a young woman growing up, I've always heard from friends like, oh, if I were to get pregnant, I'd just have an abortion. It was just something that was always an option. And we don't have that fallback anymore. And these young girls are, I think they're fed up and they're just putting dating to the side. And that's kind of what this generation has been doing from the get-go. They've been focusing on themselves. They've been focusing on their career. We grew up as little girls being told that we can do it all. We can have it all. And that was something that we all want. And dating is not something that we're really striving for as much anymore.
It's an interesting thing that you bring up, because we used to live in a society that had a lot of hand-wringing about premarital sex.
Yes.
Now we have a lot of hand-wringing about why aren't teenagers having sex
right.
at all.
Yeah.
So these things do change. They do evolve. And I'm really curious how you think about a government ruling or a Supreme Court ruling can either slow down or supercharge those changes.
I think that if we think about what's been happening over the past 2 years, we lost in the United States, a million Americans to COVID. And I mean, the birth rate has been declining for decades in the United States and other Western nations. And I think this ruling has a lot to do with that. We need workers. This is a capitalistic society. And if women aren't having children and they're choosing not to have children, or they're choosing to have abortions or postpone or not have children in general, lots of women in their 30s just aren't having children anymore. It sounds like a conspiracy theory in a lot of ways, but it's not. We have to have workers to make our society work. And if women are choosing not to have children in the numbers that they are, it's going to change everything in so many ways.
You're saying it's not a very sexy time in America.
It's definitely not.
I want to bring up callers here. 313-577-1019 is that number to call. That's a really interesting point. I mean, if you're out there, if you're in your 30s, what are your priorities when it comes to dating? And are the things that are happening, whether it's a Roe ruling or a fear of not having access to birth control or a higher expectation of partners, mm-hmm. changing how you feel? 313-577-1019 is the number to call. Christina, the other trend that we're seeing is conversations among couples of what they expect from one another. I've heard at least anecdotally that from a couple that they previously did not use condoms in the relationship, but post-Roe, they now demand that.
Right.
Are these conversations happening with couples pretty frequently?
I like you said, this is all anecdotal. Right now, no research is going to come out. It takes a long time for that to be published. But I've also heard these anecdotal stories about women saying, I'm not going to have sex with you unless you have a condom. And this was never the case previously. We know the narrative surrounding men and condom use, like everything that they have to say, why they don't want to do it. And at some point, women just kind of give in, right, when they're in a sexual encounter. Now they're just putting their foot down. They're like, I'm not taking this risk. And then I've also heard, and this one's kind of funny, like women asking men, do you have the money to financially support me for 18 years if you get me pregnant from a hookup? These are the conversations that I've heard from people out in public at bars that are just talking about. And it's really funny. And kind of guys just get taken aback by that because they're not used to those type of questions. Like even on the first date, I feel like these things are happening now.
That's kind of leaning into just, I guess, less coyness. I mean, women speaking out more in these social settings and saying, I'm not going to debate this with you when I'm in my bedroom. I'm going to make this case for you right now. You're going to take it or leave it.
Right. We're not even going to get to the bedroom. We have to discuss this first. I mean, it's going to do wonders for sexual health for sure.
Now, the other thing that we do know statistically is growing is that men are getting more vasectomies.
Yes.
Urologists recently told the Washington Post that they've seen a spike in requests for the procedure in response to the Supreme Court's decision. And again, this goes down to a social level where I've heard a lot of men asking each other, are you thinking about getting a vasectomy? And it also becomes like a social currency in the dating world to be like, I got a vasectomy.
That's an interesting way to look at it, for sure. No, yeah. There are a lot of articles coming out from doctors and offices saying that I think in one day, some of them received the amount of calls for a vasectomy that they receive in an entire month. I mean, it's outrageous. But I did read also that most of the men who are calling in to get a vasectomy had already been thinking about getting a vasectomy. And I think that's something that we should consider when having this conversation. It was already something that they were considering. Perhaps they already had children or they never want children. And this kind of the Dobbs ruling just pushed them in that direction.
313-577-1019 is the number to call and join this conversation. If the Roe v. Wade ruling has changed how you feel about having sex at all, about dating, your expectations for a partner, 313-577-1019. And right now on the line, we have Grace in Troy. You're on Culture Shift.
Oh, hi. I've been listening in, and honestly, I must say, with the Roe v. Wade and everything, too, the way that I feel about it, I just want to clear having, like, sex before marriage or anything like that out of the picture. Just, like, I want to get, like, I want to wait until, like, it's safe enough for me. Because once I heard about, like, the overturn of Roe v. Wade, I'm like, women right now are in an unsafe position. And honestly, I feel like men are just trying to get more of like a feel of dominance here. I hate to say it, but honestly, it's just like, you're trying to like, if abortion is like the safe route to go, you're basically like either going to kill off the woman or like the caregiver of the child, the one who is impregnated at that time too. You could risk the life of the child and the woman, or just the woman and have the child survive.
Grace, you said that before you were okay with sex before marriage, but this Roe ruling has changed your perspective on that entirely. You won't have sex before marriage.
Honestly, that is my point of view, yes, because it reevaluated my my life choices in a way, too, because I'm like, I now feel like I should be more mature with my decisions towards that, too. And I feel like most partners, if you have a partner out there, you should definitely have this conversation and at least like have this be kind of like not a total talking point at like the dinner table, but it is worth it to bring it up with your partner and discuss like, okay, like if we don't have the same views on that, that's okay. But we just got to respect each other's boundaries with that.
Grace and Troy, fantastic call. Really appreciate that. 313-577-1019. And Christina, something that came out of that is a little bit of, you know, reflection for women too. Like we were talking about this outward thing of saying what they want from men right off the bat, but also taking a look at being like, was I really comfortable with what I was doing before?
Right. I think we're going to see more and more of that. I think the conversation of we've kind of always sensationalized women not having sex before marriage. I mean, who is the famous, what was her name from the 2000s? Jessica Simpson, right? Yes, Jessica Simpson. I mean, she was all over the news because she didn't want to have sex before marriage. But I think that, as Grace said, more and more women are going to be coming to that conclusion, because do you really want to have a child with some of these men that you're just hooking up with on the weekends? I mean, it's a big risk to take. I think a lot of this is about risk.
Let's go ahead and get another caller here. Lisa in Detroit, you're on Culture Shift.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
You know, it's just been a whole journey, having to be more careful, being a single woman. Just you can't leave anything open to mistakes anymore, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. What could change?
Is this something that came into a bigger focus for you post-Row?
Oh, yes, definitely.
What were some of the things you started thinking about that maybe you weren't before or considering before?
Just, I mean, an abortion is obviously last worst case scenario type situation. Like, nobody wants to have to do that. But, I mean, sometimes it's a necessary thing. And having that right be taken away is very scary.
Lisa, we talked a little
about choices.
Lisa, we were talking about vasectomies earlier, and I see in my notes here you're currently dating a guy with a vasectomy.
Yes. Very thankful.
Now, did he get this recently?
Oh no.
Okay.
It's been a while. So we're really sure. No swimmers in the stream.
Yeah, in the notes it says currently dating a guy with a vasectomy, ... It's great.
Very thankful.
Yeah. Okay. Lisa in Detroit, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to, I think it's Laith in Detroit. You're on Culture Shift.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What's on your mind?
I'm a pediatrician in Detroit, and I am with abortion, quite frankly, because the actual matter of fact is that what's it called? Contraception, condoms, there is a failure rate. These are the reversible methods of contraception that people who do plan to at some point potentially have a child, they use them and they do have a failure rate. So simply like making it not possible for someone who wants to have a planned child and wants to contribute a functional, mature member to society, to the workforce, these people need time to get their lives in shape and raise a child. So to remove the option of covering that 1% chance is basically saying, if you are an unlucky person and you face that like 1% of an unplanned pregnancy, we apologize. You will contribute to this child. This, even if you can't, if you're not in a good financial place, even if you don't have the social support system, even if you don't, whatever your circumstance is, we judge you to have this child, to do your best, the best you can, even if you fail. This contributes a number of, in my clinic, I see numerous kids of single parents because not both parents were ready to have a child. And while I salute the single parents who find in themselves and in their society the resources to bring these kids to a good life, some of them truly struggle, and that struggle trickles down to the child. So making a law to ban abortion is unfair to the children who might come to this life.
Lath in Detroit, really appreciate that phone call. We do have open lines right now, 313-577-1019, as we talk to Christina Carney, doctoral student and instructor of sociology at Wayne State University, talking about how post-Roe dating is affecting us after the Supreme Court rules on Roe. We're living in a post-Roe society. Is it changing the way we view our relationships as couples have tough conversations about how they feel about abortion or our expectations for our partners too? And we want to hear from you. Has it changed anything in what you expect from a partner post-Roe? 313-577-1019. And Culture Chef Samantha LeClaire in studio with us right now.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan. Yeah, I just want to step in because I was obviously listening to the conversation here. And you mentioned people waiting to they're married to potentially have sex because of this. But I want to step in for as a woman who does not want to get married. Not that I never will, but there are a lot of strong arguments for marriage as a distinctly patriarchal institution. Women's health does eventually suffer a lot of times, married women at least, compared to single women. So I don't think, you know, that is something that we should expect, especially young girls, again, to push a lifetime of marriage on them in trade for having a sexual life.
Right. That type of narrative, wait, abstinence, wait until marriage, is very problematic in a lot of ways. We can look down south where abstinence-only programs obviously do not work statistically. Those have the highest rates of teen pregnancy. And then single women in the United States are the happiest population of people. Like, it's been proven over and over and over again. And when men enter a marriage or get into a relationship, they tend to be happier. So men are less happy when they're single, and women are way more happy when they're single. And so I think this Roe v. Wade ruling, the Dobbs ruling, adds to this conversation in that women aren't going to want to settle anymore. And a lot of women don't want to get married anymore. It is a patriarchal institution. What does it bring to women? Really, it kind of just serves men in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I'll say the last thing, and I'll let it get back to Ryan here, but there was a great Twitter debate happening yesterday about how single, childless women are statistically much happier, but also one of the biggest threats to society as a rule. So I think that's an interesting thing when you look into, you know, the effects and possibly the, you know, instigation behind, you know, tearing down Roe.
It brings me to this study.
Feminist minute here. Yeah,
it brings me to this study that recently came out as you're talking about expectations changing. It was from Psychology Today, and the headline was "The Rise of Lonely Single Men." Because dating opportunities for heterosexual men are diminishing as relationship standards rise. So our perspectives are evolving, but also it seems like regardless of gender, there is an evolution that's happening in terms of how we talk, how we present ourselves, and our expectations when it comes to one another.
Right, absolutely. I like to think, and you and I have discussed this casually before, of how women and men were kind of raised differently. In the 1980s, we saw the biggest change in the American workforce, and that was young mothers entering the workforce. This is white women. Women of color have always been in the workforce. But women entered the workforce, and they kind of saw how toxic it was for other women with the sexual harassment and all of these things. And so they went home and they're like, I don't want this for my daughters. And so we began to change how we were raising our daughters, being like, you can have it all. You can be the CEO. You can be a mother. But we didn't change how we were raising boys. And I think this is where the disconnect comes in these modern relationships that we're seeing. So boys, to be kind of blunt, still expect their mothers in a relationship in a lot of ways. And girls were raised to no longer be their mothers. And I think that's why these expectations that women have are not being met anymore.
And again, becomes supercharged when you have something like Roe eliminate a right to abortion in this country. It really becomes, it aggravates these things. It excels these things in society.
Yeah, absolutely.
speaking a little bit about education, sex education is something that has continually come up during this conversation and has also been on the minds of our callers. Again, 313-577-1019. There's a lot of talk about getting more sex education in schools, and Kathy in Heartland is talking about that right now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm just shutting off my radio. These are a couple anecdotes, but I think it illustrates that a lot of work needs to be done with teenage girls. I work at Target. Months and months ago, this is before, you know, the Supreme Court decision, there was this group of girls. They were trying to buy this ovulation kit. They found out it was like $40. They put it back. Then later on, I think they, you know, came back and like snuck it out. And I really wanted to say to them, if you are going to try and rely on this to not get pregnant, you are going to be in such trouble. And then just this week in the Target bathroom, I was in there and I saw in the trash a clear blue easy pregnancy test. Somebody had taken the test right there in the Target bathroom. Again, I can only assume this is somebody who was afraid to take that test at home, probably another teenage girl. That, you know, people, I don't know, but I'm just assuming there's a lot of misunderstanding among these teenagers on how easy it is to get pregnant and what you really need to do to protect yourself.
Kathy and Heartland, I really appreciate that phone call. And obviously, it's a large conversation with a lot of tentacles coming out of it. But it is pointing to the fact that a ruling like Roe has this snowball effect in so many different ways, whether it's safe places, safe facilities, all these types of things. Christina, when we try to forecast looking ahead, I mean, what are other things that you expect to see evolve as we continue to have these debates about our access to abortion and what we expect in our relationships?
I think that we all hoped that, I mean, we all knew that this was coming. We had the warning a few months ago, right, that this was potentially happening. And I think we felt safe in the fact that Roe v. Wade has been here for 49 years. The implications of it, like you said, are going to go in so many different directions, from family planning, like the one caller who was the pediatrician. I mean, single mothers, it's so hard to raise children. We're not taking care of the kids that we do have. We're going to see a boom in probably poverty. I mean, just to put it bluntly, I think it's just going to have really sad effects.
And that is our conversation here with Christina Carney, doctoral student and instructor of sociology at Wayne State University, taking a look at how our lives, our relationships, and our expectations of our relationships are evolving in a post-Roe society, which ends up meaning a lot of changes for us in this society, as we learned throughout this conversation. Christina, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Ryan.
You're listening to Culture Shift here on WDET. I'm Ryan Patrick Hooper. Thank you so much for hanging out.